It's a little bit difficult for us to appreciate those three verses in the Gospel of John when we come to them and read them from our perspective, because we're not Jews. Jews would understand that time frame. As a matter of fact, I think some Jews would have been insulted, and I'm sure that day some were. You see, Jesus was at one of the three main feasts in the Jewish year. There were three feasts. There was Passover, there was Pentecost, and then there was the Feast of Booths and the Day of Atonement following that as a new year started. So this feast was during the month of September, October. Their calendar was oriented towards the moon, so it could shift a month or so either way. It was the Feast of Booths. It was a feast that probably had its ancient roots in an agricultural setting in the land of Cana, where they gathered in the grains and the grapes and the produce for the year, kind of like our fall festivals. It was also a time that was to remember their captivity in Egypt. And thus came the idea of the booths. The booths were made out of twigs and sticks and branches of palms. And you were to live in them for that period of time of the festival to remember the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years where you didn't have a permanent home, where you were totally dependent upon God. Now, the first day of that feast that lasted 7 days, the first day of that feast, they would gather together in the temple courtyard, and there would be a processional of the priest that would march out of the temple and through the courtyard, and the people would go with them out the doors of the temple gates and slightly over to the left towards the east gate of Jerusalem. And there was the Pool of Siloam that we read about several times in the stories of Jesus. And ceremonially, the priest would dip into the Pool of Siloam and get the water and take it back to the temple, and it would be used for the next 7 days. The priest marched around the altar several times, the people singing and praising God for the gift of water, for the gift of God. And in that context, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, you don't have to go to the Pool of Siloam. You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go to all of this ceremony. If you're thirsty, come to me. And you can see where that'd be a little bit insulting to the Jews. I mean, they'd been celebrating this for centuries. The big celebration was the march to the Pool of Siloam to get the water to be used in the ceremony for the week. And now this young prophet says, if you're really thirsty, you don't need that water. Come to me. And if you believe in me, out of you will flow rivers of living water. And the scripture says that Jesus said this because the Spirit had not been given as yet. He was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit that he talked about later in John 14 as the gift of the Spirit, as the comforter and the counselor that would come to our lives. God expects the Spirit to flow through us as His people. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have been baptized in this church or any other church, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. But you would think in our lives we hold the Spirit captive. Jesus said that the Spirit should flow from us like rivers of living water. Well, I'll tell you what. I know some folks that got the Spirit pretty well dammed up in their lives. You know, I don't see it flowing a whole lot. You know, every once in a while they get in a pinch. If you look real closely, you might see a squirt or two of the Spirit. But generally speaking, it's all dammed up. Every once in a while, there's a person who doesn't even know it, and a little bit of the Spirit leaks out in little dribbles. But it evaporates so quickly, you scarcely know it's there. For some, when we worship God and when we come into God's presence, we kind of want to turn the spigot on. You know, like the Spirit is something that we control. And we'll just turn on the tap and we'll determine how much Spirit we're going to let out and how big a flood. You know, not too long ago, I called a plumber to my house to do some plumbing work, and the sink in the bathroom is just, you know, practically trickling, and he had to put a new one of those little things in there. You know, if you took that out, then the stuff just splashed all over you. Now, maybe that's a little bit like rivers of living water. You know, we're just not too sure we want God's Spirit splashing all over us. So, you know, we want to put a little adapter on it, and we want to kind of filter it, and we want to kind of control it, and we want to kind of shape it by how much of the faucet we turn on and how much of the flow is really there. But Jesus said, if we're really hungry for the presence of God, come to Him, and if we believe in Him, then rivers of living water will flow from us. The Spirit came to the church on the day of Pentecost as promised by the prophet Joel. God said He would pour out that Spirit. And we would dream dreams and have visions, but they won't be accomplished unless the Holy Spirit flows like rivers of living water in our lives. Now, a little bit, you know, some of us are a little afraid of that because of what we've seen on TV. We've seen TV evangelists that talk about the Spirit. We talk about people coming down and somebody sending the Spirit upon them and doing this, and people are just slain in the Spirit and pass out. Well, gee, that wouldn't be a very dignified thing to happen to us, would it? You know, we're not too sure we want that Spirit stuff. When the district superintendent called me to consider coming here to the church, you know, I felt like God gave me a vision for what this church could be. But you know, in some sense, it doesn't matter what my vision is unless we're all open to the power of the Holy Spirit transforming and renewing the life of this church to be all that God wants it to be. Because it's not my vision that's important, it's our vision together. It's our willingness to open ourselves up to Christ and be used and become a conduit for the power of the Spirit to change and transform us and the world around us. Once there was a boy who grew up in a family. He had four brothers. He was the youngest of the four. And the family was kind of poor, and there were times when the kids were just passed around from one relative to another, and then from one foster home to another, and they never really got the love and attention and care that children really want in their lives. They weren't really abused. They weren't really neglected too much. They just didn't have the love and security they needed in their lives. They were living in a little house here in Fayetteville. And there was a neighbor next door. This man, this boy had grown up into a man, and he had married, and they had no children. And they came home one night, and they looked on their neighbor's porch, and he said, "You know, that looks like one of those baby carrier things." And they said, "Well, it must just be an old one that's just sitting out there." And he said, "But I thought I heard something." And so he went over to his neighbor's house, went up onto the porch, and there indeed was one of these baby carriers. And in that carrier was an infant sitting on the neighbor's porch. They knocked on the door, no one was home. And the baby was sitting there. It was getting dark on the porch alone. This man and his wife took that baby next door to their house. The baby's diapers were wet, needed changing, and they made arrangements to take care of that and to feed the baby. And some hours later, they saw lights on at the house because he sat watchful and vigilant waiting for the people to come home. And a couple of hours later, sure enough, someone came. The father came home and then the mother. And he just sat there. Wonder how long it'll be before they realize their baby's missing. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And an hour and a half later, no sign of recognition that something was missing in that family. So he goes over and he knocks on the door. He sat the baby down in a carrier just out of vision of the door, and he says, "Are you missing anything?" And the husband looked back at the wife and said, "Are we missing anything?" "No, I think we're okay." And he said, "Well, what about your baby?" "Oh, yeah. Now, in subsequent years, that mother has been married or with four other men and has four other children. Five children. It's 8 years later. She returns from Arkansas, goes by her mother's house, who had just had a heart attack, and drops three of those children off on her mother. And this man who was her neighbor 9 years earlier comes to the rescue, goes out to that elderly woman's house, and he and his wife, who still have no children, have taken on as their responsibility three of these five children to try to show a little love and a little care and a little nurture. I saw them one day playing in the street, knowing they had no children, stopped to ask about it, and have learned of this story over the last several months. They came here and we were able to help them in the thrift shop. Some of you ladies and gentlemen may have been over there when they came to get clothes for these three children who had only the clothes they were wearing. We gave them some food. I helped them out a little bit financially because they were pretty much taking on the role of parents for three children that were not their own, just because they needed some love and care and attention. He got out of his shop and made some shields and wooden swords out of old paneling and painted them up, and his wife put superheroes on the front of each shield. One was Spider-Man, one was Superman. I forget what the other superhero was. And being boys, they got out there with their swords and shields and had a great time in the yard. And they loved going over to their house because they felt loved and cared for. The gifts that the women received last week were made by the wife because of their appreciation for what this church did to help them. He taught the youngest one, who just turned 5, how to ride a bicycle, but didn't have a bicycle, and I said, go get the child a bicycle. We'll take care of it. So he went and shopped around and got an inexpensive bicycle. And the little boy had his own little two-wheeler to ride with the other brothers. And when people come up to that little boy and ask him, where'd you get that bicycle? That little boy says, God gave it to me. God gave it to me. Because this church was there. But you see, what we did was a trickle. It was a little flow of love. What that man and his wife did was a river of living water flowing from them because they cared about 3 little children that was abandoned by their own mothers. That's the kind of love that will transform the church. We've got to let it flow out of our lives. Rivers of living water. Just gushing out of us and making a difference in the world. Or are we willing to let God use us to open us up in such a way? And as I've talked to this man about his willingness to take on so much, he said, I didn't have anyone there for me when I was growing up. And I just can't turn my back on these little boys who are growing up just like I did. And I'm going to make a difference. Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church to do something amazing. If we'll just allow the Spirit to flow through us like rivers of living water. How do you let the Spirit flow through your life? What is God doing with the Spirit within you? Is it a river of living water?